Yes, episode number 61 right here. Oh, and Board Wrestling. Man, I do too many damn radio shows on Sunday. It's BoardWrestlingFan.com. George is not here today, but I am here with G.
I'm wearing Pacos for pants.
And JT.
How does it go, G? Shucky, ducky, quack, quack.
That'd be the one. Shucky, ducky, quack, quack. We're building up to the road to WrestleMania here on Board Wrestling Fan Radio. Yeah, I got it right that time. I didn't get it right the first time. I just got through doing Think Metal all by myself. That was fun. You were listening, weren't you?
Yeah. I was listening this week.
I'm just sitting there like, I have nothing to talk about. Hey, let's talk about this hair metal movie. But now I have people to talk with, and it's just the usual three today. Well, three of the four. George is usually in the chair next to me. Brian not here this week either. And, yeah, who cares? Let's talk about wrestling. That's what we're here for, isn't it?
I believe so, yes.
Something like that. It's not what we usually...
disbelief.
Not what we usually talk about, but... Reitman gave us a great recap of Raw this week. We start with the recap of last week, with Cena announcing his challenge for the WWE title and getting beat down by The Shield along with Ryback and Sheamus, and Vince McMahon catching Paul Heyman in a lie and getting F5'd by Brock Lesnar before he can fire Paul Heyman. And we open this week's show with CM Punk walking down to the ring. He walks up to a young fan and fakes giving him a high five so he can snatch his It's My Birthday sign and rip it in half. Punk commandeers a mic and orders Justin Roberts into the ring, forcing him to announce Punk as the People's Champion. He then denies overreacting to his situation, claiming he acted the way anyone else would act. Quote, if you think I overreacted, it's clear to me you've never held anything as special as the WWE Championship. In fact, I doubt anyone in this building has ever done anything great in their entire life. That's a direct quote from CM Punk.
Well, that's because I wasn't there. If I was in the arena, he couldn't say that.
Yeah, none of us. You guys do Board Wrestling Fan Radio. You're better than me. No. Punk claims he was screwed and that the title is in its physical form was stolen from him. He then addresses the video of Heyman with Maddox and The Shield from last week. He goes to the fans in the front row, calling one Four Eyes and another Sweetheart, and asking Michael Cole if any of them saw him in the video. They each say no. Back in the ring, Punk compares Heyman's claim that he wasn't in the video against Vince McMahon, who put his video on his Titantron on his television show. He is going to doctor a video, and he's going to play it on his television show, and all you mindless, no-good, low-down, fat, stupid, lazy people are going to eat it up. Some great Rick Rude promo work from CM Punk there.
Be a star, kiddies.
Punk goes on to say that Vince deserved to have his hip broken by Brock Lesnar, claiming it was karma. Punk invites anyone to step up and try and shut him up, promising to punch their face and toss them back on the side of the railing they belong. Punk continues his tirade until SmackDown GM Booker T interrupts him. Booker has a miserable time trying to call Vicky managing supervisor and informs him she allowed him to come out and decide Punk's fate. Booker decides we can decide Punk's opponent for tonight. We have to download the WWE app and vote for a WrestleMania rematch. Our choices: Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio, and Chris Jericho. Booker is out and we go to Michael Cole giving us a tutorial on using the app. We're promised an epic announcement about the Hall of Fame later tonight, and Ryback makes his entrance as we go to break. So wow. There's our opening segment of the show.
I'm getting so sick and tired of the WWE thinking we're all a bunch of morons when it comes to social media.
Here's
technology.
How you download our app. Wait, well, I didn't get that. How do you do it again?
Well, you know, we don't, for those of us who actually don't have, you know, iPhones or Android phones, because, you know, we do exist, and the third option is the Windows phone, and we have a WWE app, but it's just not the one that they... It's actually made by WWE, but it doesn't like have it like the WWE active. Like you can't go online and do the polls during the show. So,
yeah, that's interesting.
I downloaded it this week.
You did, eh? Did you actually vote?
No, I couldn't. The app on my phone couldn't. And like I said, I didn't watch Raw till like Wednesday anyway. So.
Oh, fair enough.
So you were in the same boat as...
Well, like Canada, because we're on a 15-minute delay, so all of this interactive stuff is pretty much meaningless to us. Like, our demographic is completely lost. I think that's probably part of the reason I get so frustrated by this crap and they inundate us with. But no.
And you're in the, and there's a similar boat with me where I'm not home to vote, but I would have. I think I would have voted Mysterio because I wanted Punk to have an easy opponent. But I am so glad that they picked who they picked. We'll get to that in a little later because that was an epic, epic match.
Which basically shows that actually, for once, I don't think their voting was rigged.
Yeah, I actually read an article earlier this week that said, no, the voting this week was not rigged, despite the fact that they had problems with the app while they were running the voting. We get from back from the break, we get a Randy Orton WWE Active exclusive mentioning how perfect it would be to shut Punk up with an RKO right here in Atlanta, the site of his WrestleMania victory over Punk.
Because, a commercial break, taking a break from the program you're watching, you just can't do that.
Yeah. It's like the Super Bowl, man. I was watching the Super Bowl last week, and I'm like, man, I really got to go to the bathroom, but my team's playing, and there's Super Bowl commercials. What do I do?
Text JT.
Yeah, that's it. Text JT and convince Roman Reigns to pull the plug. at the Superdome.
I saw the one picture where I think it was, they showed it Sin Cara tripping over the plug.
Yeah. Well, there was
I like that. That's just that because all of the obvious ones with the lights going off were overkilled. The Undertaker, the Shield, Sabu, but not Sin Bacha. Nice.
But Roman Reigns took to Twitter. He said, 49ers are losing. That's injustice. Vest on, lights off. Let's go. Believe in the Shield. it was great. I loved it, except for, the very end where the Niners didn't win. But, anyway, U.S. champion Antonio Cesaro versus Ryback. Cesaro makes his way to the ring waving the U.S. flag as Cole makes a quick mention of his WrestleMania streak. Cesaro starts off with an amateur style go behind, blah, 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 blah. Moves, 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 moves. Winner is Ryback.
To Reitman's credit, though, he did do a pretty good recap, but...
Oh, absolutely, and if you want to read Reitman...
We can't go that much detail.
Yeah, I can't go into that much detail on the radio, but yes, Reitman does a fantastic job every Monday right here on BoardWrestlingFan.com. You could go there right now and read the entire review, so I don't have to, but we will give you the in-between stuff. Like, another plug for the app, as we're reminded that we could choose Punk's opponent for his WrestleMania rematch. We go back to last week. We see John Cena challenge for the WWE Championship and get beat down by The Shield. Sheamus runs in and gets beat down. Ryback runs in and gets beat down. We take a special look at The Shield when we come back. And I skipped through all of this.
Back from you missed out on the chili bit, eh?
No, I did see chili.
She tweeted Mark Henry's return before it even happened on the show. So thank really? You, Chili. You're the new Joey Styles.
I did miss that. Okay. Back for the break, we see Chili from hip-hop R&B group TLC in the crowd. We then see Rey Mysterio on WWE Active.
Wait, why wasn't she at TLC 2 months ago? Wasn't exactly. That like 2 months ago?
Yes, exactly. She was in my Raw review before TLC. we see Rey Mysterio on WWE Active doing a promo with Matt Stryker saying he should face Punk because he's the only one who's ever taken his hair. Ooh. We go, and that didn't happen at WrestleMania, by the way. That happened like a couple of months later.
Yeah.
We then get a video package on The Shield, including a montage of beatdowns on WWE superstars. We go backstage where Vicky Guerrero is with Cena. She's heard about his plan to confront The Shield tonight and compares it to the movie Death Wish. Cena reminds her he won the Royal Rumble, he's going to WrestleMania, and The Shield needs to be stopped tonight. We get another look at the video package for Trish Stratus going into the Hall of Fame, and we're reminded of the epic announcement later tonight that we didn't already know about before the show. No, yeah. Not at all.
Well, ESPN scooped them. I mean, what are they going to do?
But the thing is, it was still big enough news, because the thing is, when we get to it,
Well, the thing is, like, it's not like it was the first Hall of Fame announcement they announced on the website before they came on TV. Like, oh, we have an exclusive, announcement of the Hall of Fame. Like, we knew about Mick Foley, like, hours before Raw, if not a day or two. So this one was no surprise that they spoiled it on the website first. But it was a huge, huge announcement, so it was worth it. But we'll get to that in a minute. When we come back, it's Jericho on WWE Active saying it's our second chance to see who the best in the world is. Santina Marella hits the ring, and Booker T joins Cole and Lawler at ringside, followed by the real American, Jack Swagger, who wins the match with the, what do you call it, the Patriot Act.
And he no longer looks like Biff Tannen.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Christian Slater.
if only he had returned and he didn't have the lisp. I know he's trying to play it down, but he still has the lisp.
I watch SmackDown on my phone Friday mornings because I'm not home Friday nights to watch it anymore, so I watch it ahead of time. And I watch it on my way home from work, and I got my headphones in, and you could really hear the lisp when he came back. He's like, "Don't you forgot about Jack Swagger?" You know, like, dude, really? Come on, you couldn't go to speech therapy while you were gone? Something, you know? We're reminded of our chance to vote for Punk's opponent as we go to break, and when we come back, we get a promo for WrestleMania and an apology from WWE because so many people voted, the system crashed. World Heavyweight Champion Alberto Del Rio makes his entrance, and we get a recap of his feud with Big Show, starting with the attack on Raw, ending with the attack on Ricardo Rodriguez on SmackDown. And we get World Heavyweight Champion Alberto Del Rio versus Cody Rhodes. I wonder who's going to win this. The guy that is the champion or the guy who's not even in a match so far at TLC?
That has a mustache for a t-shirt.
Yep.
You would hope so, but unfortunately, no. Cody loses. He gets hooked in the cross arm breaker, not smoothly, Reitman notes, and gets the submission. And your winner is World Heavyweight Champion Alberto Del Rio. Alberto gets the mic and apologizes for all the time he spent looking down on us. He calls Big Show a bully and a monster and promises the Big Show will pay for what he did to Ricardo. And he will be a champion for everyone who works to put food on the table because he's a rich guy. And rich guys work to put food on the table.
He apologizes for being a bad guy, but he never apologized for running over Santa Claus a month and a half ago.
Right? Big Show comes up on the Tron, challenging Del Rio for a rematch for the title from a hotel room in an undisclosed location. He says he's staying away to protect Del Rio from his rage and has Booker sending him the contract. Show warns Del Rio that if he tries to find them or shows up here, Show will give him a worse beating than the one he gave Ricardo.
That's what's happening, folks.
Jerry Lawler overcomes a few flubbed lines to announce Chris Jericho as the winner of the Raw Active Poll and CM Punk's opponent tonight. And then we go to break. We come back with a recap of Team Rey and Sin Cara defeating Team Hell No in a non-title match on the last SmackDown. Backstage, we see Daniel Bryan up in Kane's face, blaming him for the loss. Kane accuses Bryan of not being able to take care of himself. Bryan says he'll do just that in his match tonight and tells Kane to stay backstage so as to not ruin his chances at getting a spot in the Elimination Chamber. Kane says, fine. And we get Rey Mysterio versus WWE Tag Team Champion Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan picks up the win after he dodges the drop of the dime and locks in the no lock.
Bitch tap.
It was a fairly decent match, believe it or not. George liked it. He tweeted about it.
I thought it was pretty solid. I don't recall seeing these two guys wrestle. They may have in some form or fashion, but they never had a program, if I recall.
No, I don't think they've had a program.
It was fresh, you know. That's something I think a lot of us have been complaining about with the thinness of the roster, that we see the same matches, even if they're good opponents with each other, for way too long. And even when there's like the throwaway matches that don't actually seem to build to anything, you know, like the Sheamus and the Wade Barrett program, that it's like good, but it's used as kind of filler, and that ruins the whole point of having, you know, really good combatants when you want something on the line or you want the storyline to advance.
Mm-hmm. After Daniel Bryan picks up the win, Mark Henry makes his comeback. Mark Henry meets Bryan on the way to the ring and takes him out with no problem. He hits a spinebuster on Rey. Sin Cara tries to save Rey, but takes the World's Strongest Slam. Rey is up and fights back, but ends up taking a World's Strongest Slam and a splash off the middle rope. Henry walks off, jaw-jacking with the crowd.
I got a quick question for you guys here, because I've read a few people being highly critical of Henry coming in and squashing, you know, these two smaller opponents, that it doesn't really make him look like a threat. Counter argument being, of course, well, these are both two former world champions he's squashing, so, you know, where do you guys stand on it?
I'll tell you, I enjoyed it. I thought it made him look like the dominant, you know, badass that he is, and I have no problem with it.
Yeah, me either, pretty much, you know. He wants to make his, you know, like when they go to SmackDown, he basically made his case, you know. They're only putting former world champions in this Elimination Chamber match, and he's a former world champion. He was a former dominant world champion, you know. Why, you know, Mysterio is just coming back, and he's getting put into it, so why not him?
Exactly. He's got a point there. I mean, and it works. He came out, he dominated this, you know, he dominated two former world champions. You know, regardless of how small they are compared to him, he is a big guy who is a dominant world champion and was a dominant world champion. In fact, I was there when he won the world championship at Night of Champions a couple of years ago. And I was he was on the biggest roll of his career when he got hurt. And I'm glad to see him come back, and he's picking up that momentum right where he left off. That's my take on it.
All right. I'm not really that critical of it as well, but it's just... you know the internet, and that's there's always going to be a bunch of people complaining about something, no matter which side of the coin you're on. I'm certainly of the same mindset that I'm happy to see him back. He was, you know, really a victim of unfortunate timing.
Yep.
When he got injured. There's
absolutely
no doubt about that.
All right, well, when we come back from break, Daniel Bryan is demanding an apology from Kane for not helping him out with Henry. Daniel, I'm hurt by your tone. Words hurt, and there's nothing more powerful than our friendship, says Kane. Do you mean that? Says Daniel. Hell no, says Kane. After that, we get a recap of Vince busting Heyman and Brock busting Vince's hip. It goes on a lot longer than it needs to, but later tonight, Paul Heyman is on Miz TV. We go live to Big Show's... We go live to Big Show's hotel room, where he's on the phone waiting for the contract. He answers the door for room service, and the waiter stands there waiting for a tip. Get a better job, says the Big Show. Sheamus makes his entrance, and his match is up next after the break. And we're back getting another recap of the Shield attack on Cena, Ryback, and Sheamus, as well as a reminder that Cena calls them out later tonight. But now
hey.
It's Sheamus versus WWE Tag Team Champion Kane, who gets distracted by his own tag team partner and eats a brogue kick, giving Sheamus the victory. Brian apologizes while smiling as we go to break. Welcome to Miz TV. Miz is trying to recap the attack on Vince again, but Heyman interrupts, not wanting someone like The Miz to soil his reputation. Heyman attempts to give Vince his best wishes on his hip surgery, but Miz interrupts him. Heyman denies having anything to do with Brock's attack on Vince. Miz brings up the tape of him, Maddox, and The Shield. Miz calls him the biggest liar he's ever met in his life. Heyman starts asking questions about Punk getting screwed and winning back the belt. Miz and Heyman are up in each other's face when managing supervisor Vicky Guerrero decides to interrupt. She admits to signing back Brock Lesnar and expresses her grief over what happened to Vince. As she starts to cry, Paul asks for a moment of silence. Vicky suggests they share a prayer, and I just lost my place. I decided to zoom in on my tablet.
Ooh, Miz calls BS on the whole thing. Lesnar
comes out,
kills
Miz, wrecks the set.
Yep.
And he and Heyman walk off, and we go to break. We come back to a replay of the Miz TV chaos and a confirmation that Brock is under contract to WWE. Randy Orton makes his entrance, followed by Wade Barrett. As Barrett makes his way to the ring, we get a picture-in-picture promo from Bo Dallas and a recap of their feud, including Bo's upset win and the attack on SmackDown. Wade Barrett versus Randy Orton, and Orton picks up the win clean with the RKO. After the break, Punk versus Jericho, for real this time. We come back from break for a quick promo for Fandango, coming soon to WWE.
He doesn't even look good in his new promos.
Fandango is coming to WWE, so I can order movie tickets now from WWE.com? Is that what that means?
No, WWE app.
Yeah.
Buy the app.
Buy the replay.
There it is.
CM Punk versus Chris Jericho. After playing to the crowd, two men lock up and Punk gets a knee followed by a chop. Oh, moves. This is awesome's chants the crowd. Jericho hits two shoulder blocks from the outside, goes up top. Punk kicks his leg out from under him, goes for the GTS. Jericho catches Punk's leg on the way down, hooks the walls of Jericho. Punk makes it to the ropes. Punk tries to lift Jericho. He can't. Jericho goes for the legs. Punk twists him into the middle turnbuckle. Punk sends Jericho shoulder first on the post and hits the GTS for the three count in what was one of the best matches by far in a long time on Monday Night Raw. If you've seen it, you know.
Yeah, they gave us a treat, man. This was like pay-per-view quality. Well, I would go beyond even calling it that.
Oh, I would too. This is it's definitely WrestleMania season. I think this was better than their WrestleMania match, honestly.
I think it's the culmination of the fact that they had that program last year, and this is probably the one match they're going to have with each other. Well, maybe we'll get a rematch. I doubt it. I think this is what the one match we're getting with Jericho's return. And they're able to go through everything that they've done and add in some new twists and flavors to it. It was fantastic. I totally agree. This was easily the highlight of the week. I mean, some people might say, oh, well, I saw this on Ring of Honor, sorry, JT, or, you know, there's this match I saw at some local, you know, indie hall. Well, I wasn't there, so I didn't see that one either. But for the majority of people that are going to be exposed to wrestling, they skipped this match. They made a big, big mistake.
Absolutely agree with you 100% on that. I enjoyed this match so much. In fact, I know George enjoyed it as well. He was tweeting with me about it. Yes, George is on Twitter at Punish78. If you don't know,
I was reading online Tuesday morning, and it was just people were like, "Okay, watch this match." I'm like, "Okay, so I guess I'm watching this match just to see what all the hype is about." So yeah, you know.
Well, I did something that I never do, ever.
Exactly what I saw when I read, too.
When I got home from work, I watched the match again because it was that damn good. I enjoyed this match so much I had to watch it twice. And I never, ever watch Raw after I watch Raw. Once I watch it at work, I don't come home and watch it. I'm done with it. But this match was so good, I had to watch it again. And it was so worth watching the second time. Well, after the match, we get a huge Hall of Fame announcement. Our next...
Never say never, folks.
Never say never, absolutely.
That's the end of wrestling.
Absolutely. Our next inductee is Bruno Sammartino. We get a package of Bruno's career highlights, including winning the WWWF title in 48 seconds, coming back from a broken neck after 3 months, and meeting the Pope. That is a huge, huge announcement. I'm sure there's more about it in the news, but it was
a little bit.
It was something that you would never see coming because Bruno Sammartino was all about, no, I'm not going into the WWE Hall of Fame. No, there's no way I'm going to meet with Vince McMahon, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do... But Bruno Sammartino in the WWE Hall of Fame, it has happened. He will be. I will be there to see him inducted. That's awesome.
Oh, nice. You got those tickets then.
I got tickets. Yeah, I got tickets for the Hall of Fame. I got tickets for everything. I got Raw, WrestleMania, and Hall of Fame. Haven't gotten the access tickets. I might.
Have we ever had this rich Hall of Fame class? I mean, yeah.
No, I don't think so.
No, this is a stack. This is stacked. But then again, you're in like the Mecca, so you got to make sure you're going to have as stacked as you can get it.
Well, without Sammartino, it was already stacked, and you had him in, like, holy shit.
when they announced Backlund a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, okay, Sammartino must have said no, you know, because think about it, because you know, you don't, if you're not getting the guy with the longest, you have the guy with the number two longest. So okay, yeah, I'm not saying they're gonna make him the big highlighted guy, but you know, okay.
But it makes you wonder who else they could actually add that people are even gonna bat an eyelash.
Oh, I know, that's it. I mean,
I'm gonna go right on and say this. I don't mean to interrupt you guys. You know, I shit on Triple H a lot, and you know what? I know this much: Triple H probably worked his ass off to get this done, and I will actually go on record as commending you, Triple H. Thank you for doing this.
Oh, absolutely. And listen, I'll tell you, I mean, I've been to the Hall of Fame before. I've been to the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, and it was a big one when I went, but this is so much bigger. When I went, it was Gordon Solie, Eddie Graham, Mae Young, Rocky Johnson, Peter Maivia, and Ric Flair all went in. So I got to see The Rock, and I got to see Ric Flair, and I got to, you know, it was great. And then, you know, but this is so much bigger than that. This is like... Bruno Sammartino is one of those guys where, no, that's never going to happen. They'll never get Bruno. And they got Bruno. And Triple H is the guy that did it indeed. So, yes, all the credit in the world to Triple H for going ahead and getting Bruno Sammartino to agree to be a part of the WWE Hall of Fame. In fact, yeah, wasn't it just a couple of weeks ago we were talking about Billy Graham talking about, well, this is why Bruno doesn't want to be in the Hall of Fame, when he was talking about Punk's promo, right? I mean, you know. And now Bruno's in the Hall of Fame. It's going to be huge, and that's just awesome. That's the coolest thing.
And not shitting on Andre the Giant or anything, but if anybody that should have been the first person inducted besides Andre in the WWE Hall of Fame, it should have been Bruno.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he is the longest running WWE champion of all time.
Yeah.
You know, and Punk's comments aside, you know, and Punk, and not to say Punk didn't have a point a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, it's still, even back then, that's still a long time to be champion.
Yeah.
We come back to Matt Stryker interviewing CM Punk backstage. Punk calls The Rock a thief and says the title of champion belongs to him. He's the best in the world, and he proves it every night. From that, we go to a video package about The Rock winning the WWE Championship after 10 long years, featuring a montage of headlines and TV spots about The Rock. Here's something I want to talk about real quick. And listen, I know the idea behind Rock being the WWE champion for WrestleMania season, going into WrestleMania, it's supposed to bring mainstream attention, and it's supposed to get eyes on the product. But let me tell you something. When I was watching the Super Bowl last week, I saw The Rock three times. I saw The Rock trying to sell me milk. I saw The Rock trying to sell me to go see Fast Six. And I saw The Rock trying to sell me on Snitch. I did not once think, oh, shit, I got to remember to watch WrestleMania.
You know.
I think the WWE missed a really good opportunity if they were able to have pulled this off and made a commercial with Cena and Fruity Pebbles and have it air immediately after.
Yeah.
The milk commercial. That would have been a stroke of genius.
Oh, absolutely.
And because they have that contest, you know, you can win and go to WrestleMania, make that the ad. You tell them what the match is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. I had that thought on Sunday when I was
The only problem is you tell them what the match is, spoiler. Not that we don't already know, but still.
it doesn't matter. It's just, I mean, if you really want to capitalize on The Rock and get a, you know, they have money, they can afford one 30-second commercial. Like, that's the thing. And I'm sure they could split the cost, because obviously the cereal is going to want, you know, some advertising too. So it's a win-win. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
What a shame. I think that would have been, that's probably the biggest missed marketing opportunity I've ever thought of in a long time. And I'm not a marketing genius, which says something to my credit, that if I can come up with it, what the hell are you doing in Stanford, you people? Come on.
and the way you said it is perfect, that they could have split the cost. It could have been $2 million for Post and $2 million for WWE. You know, get people to watch WrestleMania, get people to buy Fruity Pebbles. Get people to know that don't watch wrestling to know who the guy on the box is. Wait, that's not Fred Flintstone.
Exactly.
Fred Flintstone was fired.
John Cena is backstage being interviewed about calling out the Shield. Cena talks about how the time to laugh and joke and smile comes to an end when you get picked on and pushed around. Tonight, he pushes back. We go to break, and when we come back, the Big Show is eating live from his hotel, because that's great television, and complaining on the phone about how long it's taking to get the contract over to him. Show answers the door for a guy with the contract. While Show reads it over and signs it, the guy keeps trying to tell him something. Show refuses to listen. He opens the door to let the guy out and comes face to face with Alberto Del Rio. No, Ricardo, so I had to do it.
There you go.
They have a vicious fight in the hallway that ends with Del Rio blinding, knocking out the Big Show with a fire extinguisher. Two men get out of the elevator looking confused. It's okay, my friend just had some bad Mexican food. Del Rio assures them he will get Show some help and leaves Big Show with a wink. Back in the ring, Brad Maddox is here asking for a mic. He claims Heyman took advantage of him. He claims he is an innocent. He takes credit for giving McMahon the video of him with Heyman and the Shield and calls himself the hero of this story. He says it's going to be him and not Cena who dishes out justice to the Shield and calls them out. They come down, admitting they took money from Heyman and that they are going to enjoy beating him down after Maddox is decimated. Cena makes his way to the ring through the crowd, followed by Ryback and Sheamus. The Shield attempt to flee, but the entire WWE locker room cut them off. Shield is trapped back to back in the ring. Cena and friends move in, and the fight breaks out for 2.5 minutes. The Shield retreat as the show closes.
... and justice for all. I like that closing segment. I was worried I was not going to. I think if the Shield had been laid out, it would have been a really bad thing. That was my main concern. But I liked how it started with Maddox, because I didn't really expect that at all. And I thought he was really good in kind of setting the whole thing up, calling himself a hero and whatnot. I liked that a lot. I got to give a thumbs up to this episode overall. I certainly enjoyed Raw. There were some moments I didn't, but it's 3 hours, so of course that's going to happen.
Oh, of course. I thought it was a pretty solid show. I mean, we had some good matches with Daniel Bryan, Rey Mysterio, of course, CM Punk and Chris Jericho. Big announcement of Bruno Sammartino, and of course the Shield segment was actually not that bad. You would think, oh great, John Cena's going to come out and cut a promo. I think that's probably the best part, is we got a Brad Maddox promo instead.
plus, you know, damn it, I'm going to say I like racist Big Show. Yeah. he's all in a suit, he's all prim and proper, and he just tells him, you don't like it, you like Alberto Del Rio because he's Spanish. He's from Mexico, and I don't speak Spanish. I like it.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah. I mean, Big Show's been great as far as, like, he's playing the heel in this, you know? Like, he's the bad guy. He's supposed to say stuff like this, you know? And, you know, we joke around a lot with our friend Brian, you know? He's not really a racist, and neither is the Big Show, you know? But it's still funny. It's all in good fun in this case. You know, it makes him look like an asshole, and that's what you want out of your bad guys. And then you have the conquering hero, Alberto Del Rio. That's what you want. Of course, what I don't want is a guy getting attacked in his hotel. Especially because I work in a hotel, and I'd be like, dude, what the fuck did you do? That ain't from bad Mexican food. If it was bad Mexican food, you'd be asking for a plunger. I don't know. What else happened? Go ahead.
On Raw, I was going to say that they seem to be really conscious of not actually ruining anything in the hotel, though. But I was kind of wondering what your thoughts were on that, too, because I know your occupation, but you already brought it up, so kudos.
Well, I think the whole thing is it's almost like the supermarket thing where you're just wondering, like, okay, how much did they pay the hotel to let them trash it that bad? Because they didn't do a lot of damage, but they damaged a little bit of the furniture in the lobby, you know. So there had to be some kind of cost.
Sure, that's
there.
Not a big, expenditure.
Probably not. They get those things out of catalogs
them,
and shit. So
yeah, but it's not like they're like going like, you know, rock star mode and like tossing a television through the window,
right?
Flooding the floor, or even better, the scene out of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Remember what they did to that one room when it's like flooded?
So what else happened on wrestling television between Monday and Friday?
Do we do main event next?
Sure.
Yeah, might as well.
Alrighty.
Could it show out on Tuesday, I don't know about.
There used to be.
Sure.
ECW! ECW!
Alrighty here. So we get main event Wednesday. We get Cody Rhodes. He comes out. He bitches because he's not being allowed in the Elimination Chamber. And then, you know, Sheamus comes out and goes, you know, he spoke the Irish talk that he speaks, and, you know, they go into a match where, you know, shocker, Sheamus wins. And then that goes into match number two, where we have his former partner, Damian Sandow, wrestle Daniel Bryan to a pretty, both of these matches were good matches. I'm not going to shit on them. They were really good. Daniel Bryan loses via Kane coming out and causing him to lose. It was kind of the same thing like on Raw. He just came down and, of course, distracted, and he gets pinned, and that's that. And Then we go to, we got three matches tonight, folks.
Wow.
In an hour. For WWE to get three matches in an hour. But here's the third match. We go backstage, and poor, of course, George isn't here. We had a scene with the Funkadactyls and Tamina. It wasn't Funkadactyls. It started out as Oksana and Tamina Snuka were trying to convince Brodus Clay to replace the Funkadactyls with them. So that leads to our third match of the night, which was the Funkadactyls versus Oksana and Tamina Snuka, and I said, I hit stop and delete.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
It's not good.
That was main event this week, folks.
All right.
Do we want to do TNA or do you want to do Ring of Honor? Because I have Ring of Honor too, but that was.
If you did Ring of Honor, more power to you. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we have. And like very much like last week, we have Guest Ring Announcer Week Part 2. We had the new guy tournament that they're having. The final match of the first round, Matt Taven defeated some guy named ACH and Truth Martini on commentary. I think he's been on commentary for all the matches in this tournament. I don't study it too much. And then the next segment was Adam Cole and Matt Hardy talk. They're arguing over because Matt Hardy wants to wrestle for the TV title, and you know Nigel McGuinness won't let him wrestle for the title because he won their match at Final Battle for with a low blow, and he says he'll let him wrestle Matt Hardy, Matt Hardy has to earn it, you know. And here's a shocking thing. Now people shit on WWE for the Divas division. Okay, at least WWE has the Divas on once, sometimes two, sometimes three times a week, sometimes twice in a night. Ring of Honor actually had a women's wrestling match. They have like one like every 6 months. And it was pretty terrible. I got through about a minute and a half, and it was almost as bad as watching Oksana wrestle.
They have more women than just Maria in Ring of Honor?
Yeah, well, these were like, I don't even think these are on the roster page. I didn't even know who they were. And like, their commentary girl, Veda Scott, yeah, she's the only other regular one besides Maria. She was she's abysmal as the guest commentator. She was just abysmal. I'm like, okay, hit the fast forward. That we're gonna get done with that. So, the main event was an 8-man tag match that featured Scum. Which is, for those who don't know, which is, brain fart. Jimmy Jacobs, Steve Corino, Rhino, and Kevin Steen. And they defeated the Briscoes and Coleman and Alexander. And I guess commentary for that match was Jay Lethal. And that's your Ring of Honor for this week. So if you haven't watched this week's episode, you already know what happened.
Alrighty then. I'm trying to find out who the women were here. Let's see if we can find out, because if you didn't know, then who else is going to know? Let's see. We're looking for...
Well, here, I'll see if I can look it up, see if James Bullock has his ROH this week.
Yeah, I was trying to look up by last week's date, and then I got this week's spoilers.
No, it was this week's episode. It was the one that aired last night.
Oh, the one that aired last night. Gotcha.
Yes. So, like I say, if you haven't seen it yet, that's the... But like I say, it didn't really... The match, for what I watched, it just didn't... They botched, like, three moves, and I'm like, okay, yeah, they didn't want to talk shit about WWE. So...
Yeah, I'm just curious, you know, as to who it was. Let's see. Oh, Athena versus Mischief. That's who it was. Mischief.
Yeah.
That's too bad they didn't do a great job. I've seen a few Mischief matches. She used to tag with Daphne for a while.
I've heard nothing but good things about Mischief, so...
Well, like I say, I probably should have watched it probably longer, but like I say, after I saw the first couple of botches, I'm like, I'm not... And like I say, Veda Scott, when she's the backstage interviewer for them, she was abysmal on the commentary. I'm like, okay, I can't watch this anymore. And of course... Kevin Kelly's voice was hoarse. He shouted himself voiceless during that match, and he was all scratchy and raspy, and I was like, okay, I can't.
So what happened on Impact? Anything interesting?
It was an okay episode. They're still in the tapings from the UK. This was the second episode from Manchester that we had this week. We started off with the NWO out in the ring. Pretty much looked like that. It was a good visual, actually, to be honest with you. And it was D-Von introducing officially Wes Briscoe and Garrett Bischoff as members of Aces and Eights. And they were going to explain why they joined. And Garrett cuts a brief promo just saying nobody respected him, and Aces and Eights is his new family, and you know he's joined because he wants respect. Wes Briscoe, I liked his promo here. I thought it was well delivered, and he was really seemed motivated. Maybe like he was channeling his frustration from being released from the WWE's developmental, talking about being a Briscoe and how, you know, he tried to contact Hulk Hogan for 2 years, and then when he finally returned his call, he had to start at the bottom, and nobody, you know, with the last name Briscoe should ever start from the bottom. But I guess that kind of contradicts joining Aces and Eights, because then now he's kind of starting from the bottom with that group. But right. Nonetheless, I kind of like that. I thought it was good. The crowd just shat all over these guys. You can't wrestle Chance, and who are you, Chance, broke out throughout the entire thing, though. But that was our opening. We had a bunch of stuff with Tara and Jesse and Miss Tessmacher. They had a match at one point, and Tessmacher's new vaginal rub to the face move, which is just awesome. With that total throwaway match, we had a good X Division match with Zema Ion, former Board Wrestling Fan guest
on my birthday.
That's right. Kenny King and Rob Van Dam, and it was about 6-7 minutes long. It was actually a really good three-way match, so I'll give him a thumbs up for that. Jesse later would come out and do his douchebaggery, and James Storm comes out and does his best Stone Cold Steve Austin impression about drinking beer and beating up people, and essentially does that to Jesse. It was okay. Jesse's starting to grow on me. I'll give the guy credit. Like, he makes me want to see him get beaten up, and if you're a heel, that's effectively your job. So I'll give him a little more respect this week for that. Then we had our tag team match, and we did have a notable incident here. Bobby Roode and Austin Aries have captured the tag team titles. And as terrible as Chavo Guerrero has been on the microphone, he was actually pretty damn good in the ring. He did most of the work. Hernandez was there, and he had a couple big man spots, but Aries ultimately wins with the 450 splash and new tag team champions. So that was good. Very good match. And then at the end of the show, we had Sting and Bully Ray facing D-Von and Doc, who of course is Luke Gallows, for those of you who have already forgotten, and I don't blame you. And it's a tables match, and it was okay. There was one notable segment with, I guess they're just wrapping up the UK show that they're doing. Snap, what's that called? It's their version of Tough Enough. It's escaping me right now. But they introduced a new person, maybe to the roster, named Spud, who's like a very tiny little British guy. I'm assuming if he's going to be a regular part of the roster, we'll see him in the X Division. But really, really not a lot to tell you about that just yet. It's overall, it was okay. It was an okay episode, I guess.
All right, there you go. Impact report from G. Speaking of G, every Friday night here on BoardWrestlingFan.com, G reviews SmackDown, and then every Sunday I read it to you. It's like a fireside chat, except I'm not the president yet.
It's going to happen.
It will. I'm running next time. All right, let's see. I've read the matches, non-spoiler version, ahead of time, and kill me now. This does not look good, people. There's one or two on the card that look passable, but I must warn you, there will be much fast-forward content on this debacle. Unless you like immobile big guys that can't really do anything in the ring. If that's the case, enjoy! Not me, though. It's hopping time. More like skipping time. Oh well, maybe we'll make up for it with a whimsical Hornswoggle and Natalia cover of Dueling Banjos using flagellants instead of the five-string percussive cording hybrid of an instrument. Fuck!
To alcohol!
Friends
is... Cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Absolutely. Friends is filmed in front of a live studio audience. Heart Legacy Wrestling voiceover guy leaves, unpaid and angry. On the way out, he shouts something about the Shield Squad featuring Deanie, Seth Rotol, and Mumbly Joe being sent back to OVW in a crate since they're facing Jonathan Coachman, Photo Sheem Shop, and Ryutube or some crap. Alberta Delaware Rio, She Dances on the Sand, and Ric Flair have both been suspended because of attacking Bagpipe Show. Drew McIntyre is seen with 3MB sobbing that there was no gimmick needed. Paul E. Whiteley, and he's certainly more Scottish. Mike Myers appears as Fat Bastard, and suddenly it all makes sense. We're told that the WWE is also inducting Scott Hall this year, claiming he is obviously more Scott-ish, hick, derp, than McIntyre. Meanwhile, Tiffany calls it right down the line in TNA, a line that Hall himself cannot walk. Turns out I can cross it, though, like two X's on the back of my hands. I grab a beer.
Now, gee, I have to ask. What the hell do you smoke before you watch SmackDown?
Bath salts!
The WWE logo comes up with a bunch of superstars and David Otunga for some reason. The voiceover guy ponders which wrestlers will impress breakdancer T to earn a spot in the Elimination Chamber of Horrors. Also, what was up with Big Show's hotel experience from Raw? We immediately cut to a WWE bus and some guy pops out before Big Show to check the OR. You like it so far? Check the OR. You love the OR. Cue the opening song. Which is interesting. They actually had an opening video this week. I think that's the first time all year. Anyway, Big Show is in the ring, noting that things around here are completely unacceptable, and the double standards that because he is not popular, he has to be treated unfairly. Be a star, WWE Universe. Show calls BS on people cheering the face champion for being a criminal. JT is seen in the audience holding up a sign that says, "Didn't ADR cut the same promo after Sheamus took a dookie in his car a couple of months ago?" Show is on point here in his usual awesome ways, calling ADR a Mexican Clint Eastwood. Also, Booker T must be held accountable for this happening on his watch, all because of jealousy. Booker comes out demanding to know what his problem is, and Show retorts and demands to know how Del Rio knew his hotel accommodation. He alludes that T or one of his cronies gave out the information. T points out that a 7-foot-tall giant is going to have a tough time hiding his location. Booker books Show into a match with Kane. Kill me now. Show flips out, having no time to prepare. Great segment. Too bad the match will be slow and plotting and cause the reversal of the time continuum.
Well, Show definitely works well on the mic, but as you guys know, I'm not really a big fan of the big guy matches.
Oh, we know. Cody Rhodes versus Kofi Kingston. Kofi is a good matchup for Cody and looks to grab an early win, but to no avail. Rhodes picks up momentum and lands a crossroads. I think this match was maybe 3 minutes. Too short. Much too short. Oh, well, it leaves more time to show Raw clips of the tensions between team friendship.
Yeah, I've been wondering, what the hell's been up with Kofi lately? Who'd he piss off to be treated like this? Like, he's lost the Intercontinental title. He's been just, like, either not on or job city.
Who knows? Daniel Bryan and Kane meet backstage, and Bryan asks for forgiveness for his interference on Raw and feels that they should still be friends. Kane agrees. Bryan notes that he should be out at ringside with Kane for his match tonight because it will mess with Big Show's head. Kane is hurt enough and tells him not to utter another word. It was a great segment, actually. I like this image. Don't hate people because they are different than you. I don't like you, Alberto, because you're Latino. More Raw clips from 2 weeks ago of Brock Lesnar F5-ing McMahon, and JBL calls it the most disturbing thing he has ever seen. Really? Not the mass transit incident from ECW? Speaking of really and ECW clips from last Monday's Raw TV, Raw and Miz TV are shown with Paul Heyman, Vicky Guerrero, and the last big thing, Brock Lesnar are shown. It didn't include Lesnar throwing the director's chair onto the Miz outside of the ring, which was hilarious. Then San Martino Hall of Fame clips and the video for Monday. Yay, original content for all. Don't get me wrong, I love the Bruno history package. I don't mind seeing that again. I won't mind seeing it multiple times. Mediocre Kali versus Titus O'Neil. Kali enters in a cloud of smoke with Hornswoggle and Natalya. Oh, wait, that's dust. Swoggs immediately puts on a hazmat suit and begins isolating regions of the arena, screaming at the audience not to inhale the fumes. He breaks a glass on a nearby box, and out comes Goldberg. Goldberg goes into Kirby mode and clears the arena of the dangerous gases emitted from Kali's knees, and mentioning something about this being his favorite part of his own entrance pyro when he was still active. Actually, we get a commercial break. JT is seen at ringside with a gas mask, holding up a sign... Stop lying, G. That totally happened, you fucking liar.
Oh, did you see the wrestling memes for this match? They did the because Josh Matthews says at the beginning, here comes a huge future Hall of Famer when Kali comes out, and then at the end of the match it has because JBL says it too at the end of it, yeah, that was a hot Hall of Fame quality match.
Oh, it was great when they're on the way to the ring. JBL's like, which one's a Hall of Famer? You talking about Hornswoggle? You talking about Kali? You talking about who's a Hall of Famer? These guys are not Hall of Famers. Love JBL on commentary. He's great. We return, and Titus will have no entrance as Kali is slapping his chest. That's his move. Booker T and the ghost of Teddy Long are seen standing backstage watching on TV and evaluating the two men's performances for consideration of being entered in the Elimination Chamber matchup. No, 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 Kali swats down Titus in record time and does his best Roman Reigns impression with the win. Time to have sex with Mae Young, folks. That's right, Mark Henry is here. He first murders Titus O'Neil some more, tossing his broken corpse into the ringside barricade. Then he wipes his feet on the apron and enters to face the immobile Kali. Henry pretends that Kali is actually good at wrestling, selling some argle-bargle spots, then picks up the former Indian police officer. I bet he was easy to outrun, huh? And casually slams him down. Mark Henry is now on the microphone, talking in his angry way about destroying Daniel Bryan, Rey Mysterio, and Sin Cara on Raw. He blames Booker T, since he assembled an elite group of world champions, but left out Mark Henry. A critical mistake to leave out the world's strongest man. Henry calls out Booker T to come out and address this, or he will destroy the entire SmackDown roster. Out comes Booker T. He's getting called out for a manager of general managing general mismanagement, or whatever he tried to say on Monday. Henry essentially demands to be put in the Elimination Chamber match, but Booker T tells him that he will have to face Randy Orton to make this happen.
I didn't watch that Kali match, but the only thing I know, like I say, after I saw the wrestling memes thing, I had to at least watch the parts where see where that was all said.
Oh yeah, JBL was great on commentary through that whole thing. Backstage, Big Show is seen yelling at the bust guy from earlier and putting on his ring gear. Show mutters something as he leaves the parking area, and ADR saunters around from off-camera smirking. I guess this match is up next. Great. Not watching this at BAM! Baseball bat to the back of my head. T-ball, bitch, notes my secret weekly assailant. Or should I say, G-ball. Dude, I stammer. How many head injuries do I have to sustain writing these goddamn reviews? I do enjoy damage to myself on a daily basis. Remember that scene in The Untouchables? My attacker questions. Review the damn match or I'll find a way to put Joe Pesci in this movie. Fine, I'll watch it, but I'm getting some more alcohol, I comply. I'll do one of these post-match recaps. But he's already gone, like Zack Ryder's push. George may or may not have been on my balcony this week, as we do not know at this time if he can make the weekly BWF radio show. What I do know is that there is a flaming paper bag on the concrete outside. I just let it burn. It still burns. That's your metaphor, Captain Obvious, for this match. Love the Rikishi with the Paul Heyman.
Somebody apparently Reddit did too. I got a cap of that from a buddy in a group on Facebook, and I told him I'm gonna see how Reddit treats us. And something like 400 upvotes and like 30 or 40 downvotes, so they approved.
All right, well, Big Show versus Kane. Kane kicks things off early with a Shining Wizard, then backflips onto the top turnbuckle and immediately back onto Big Show with a twisting 540 frog splash. Not to be outdone, Big Show reverses into a surfboard stretch on the Big Red Monster, then tosses him 4,500 feet in the air, teleports above him and drops him into a fiery spinning reverse DDT into a pool of snakes and snapping turtles. Actually, Show pretty much just punches Kane out with a WMD. Then ADR calls Show out to the parking lot. Show discovers that ADR has fantastically stolen all of Big Show's bus tires and placed them on cinder blocks. The ADR then dumps orange paint from above on Show. Then ADR is seen atop a tow truck telling him he knows a guy who can give him a tow. He's a face, folks. He's the new John Cena. Fuck. Jack Swagger versus Justin Gabriel. Thwagger gets a promo in about being a real American, which I'm told a real American takes what he wants. Too easy. Just too easy. Fellow oppressor of indigenous people, Justin Gabriel has been recently allowed out on probation for his involvement in apartheid. No mention of his crimes of murder as his identity as a sparkly werewolf remain a secret. Did I? Oops, it doesn't matter, because Swagger's here to kill him. Gabriel flips and flops around a bit, and JT is seen in the audience holding up a sign with an animated GIF on it featuring the opening part of the Itchy and Scratchy show. How the fuck did he do that? Swagger also joins the short match list as he quickly submits Gabriel with the Patriot Act, or angle lock. Cut to Brodus Clay and Natalya reading to kids in continuation of the WWE's push to encourage literacy with their Reading Superstar and WrestleMania Reading Challenge program. I can't make fun of this, sorry. If I did, it would go against me posting text-based content online, and that would be fucking stupid. Fandango teaser video. Why? And by that I mean, why debut this guy so close to WrestleMania? It's almost as bad as, oh, here's the unannounced match Joe was referring to on Facebook earlier this week. Tensai versus Drew McIntyre with 3MB. Great, McIntyre starts off looking strong, and then 3MB interfere. DQ win for Tensai as Brodus Clay runs out to defend his chunky dancing buddy. Great. They clear the ring, and I stab my brain with a nearby pencil. Nope, still alive. The Flock of Dactyls get in the ring, too. Brodus' music plays, and yes, the new dancing team of Clay Albert is officially on TV. Antonio Cesaro versus... Huh?
Told ya.
Yep. Antonio Cesaro versus Sin Cara.
Sadly, I know before you get into it, sorry. The thing is, I didn't enjoy Brodus Clay, but for some reason, I see freaking Tensai doing it, I have to laugh.
It'll get stale soon enough.
I so enjoy it.
The hip-hop is back.
I love the shuffle dance spot. It sums up exactly what this whole team is.
Yeah. Well, Antonio Cesaro versus Sin Cara, sigh. Cesaro comes out waving the American flag like a good Swiss patriot. Then he gets to work early, but the match is under the blue-yellow lights of Cara, so nope. Cesaro is beating the bejesus out of the little lucha. Sin Cara turns around and hits a number of technical spots we haven't seen out of him to date, including one that almost resembles a Canadian destroyer, but into a pin attempt. Too bad for Cara, though, since matches are only allowed to be 3 minutes tonight, Cesaro tosses him into the air and lands his brutal European uppercut spot for the win. Which George enjoyed, by the way. He tweeted about that particular match.
Oh, that was a good match. It's just too short. All the matches, really, on this whole show, I think. I mean, I guess I complained a lot in the review about some of the matches I didn't want to see, but it was... this is one that should have gone at least 5-6 minutes, not 3.
Backstage, Stick Matter interviews Randall, Keith, Orton about binary code. Something about Henry being, yawn, I don't know, injury this, injury that. Put him back on the shelf. My brain crashed trying to download that promo. Had to reboot. Backstage, Stick Matter interviews The Miz about getting his ass handed to him on Raw by Lesnar. Miz recites his lines about facing the baddest wrestlers on WWE over the past few years and standing up to them, but when he faced Lesnar, he saw something in his eyes he couldn't understand. Cesaro interrupts Mikey and says that he loves America since it's the only place someone can get destroyed and come back and whine about it. Miz decides he's going after the US title and attacks Cesaro for being honest. What the fuck is going on in this gif?
I honestly don't know. It's Undertaker attacking a bottle of water, apparently.
Shield recap with all the crap related to Raw. Fuck this show. Seriously, fast forward. We're shown some post-Raw footage with Cena calling out the Shield with his pals Sheamus and Ryback. Justice gets served. This can't end well. Randy Orton versus Mark Henry. Backstage, we see Team Alpha. What do we got planned for Orton this week, Joe? Asks George. Not much. Same thing we have planned for Orton every week, George. Try to take over the world. Anyway, not much. Our new buddy Mark Henry should be able to take out this garbage. JT is seen in the audience holding up a sign, wisely observing, yeah, fuck this episode. Glad I got in on this seat filler gig. They waste a bunch of time coming down to the ring. As you can tell, I'm thrilled about this contest. The two go outside of the ring early. Henry grabs Orton's face a bit, and then Henry gets tossed into a steel post. The steel post spot. It's like the new worked punch in the WWE this week, huh? Speaking of worked punches, Orton take one seated upon the top rope to the outside. He stands up on his chest, yawn, 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 then Henry locks on the Vulcan death grip. Backstage, Joe, George, and JT are seen drinking coffee out of oversized mugs when George offhandedly asks, which one of us is fucking Rachel this week? The other two shrug. World's Strongest Slam. Orton is killed and his internal coolant fluid spreads across the mat like the Java spilled from Team Alpha after they clink cups and Joe accidentally spilled some of his drink on one of Central Perk's tables. They all share a laugh and... G criticizes because he cares. He did enjoy the show. Wouldn't watch if he didn't love this shit. So there you go. There's your Raw review.
Yeah,
SmackDown. Whatever. One of them damn shows.
Yep. Smack Raw.
Smack Raw. Raw down. It might as well have been Raw. They showed enough damn footage from Raw, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would estimate 20 minutes to 25 minutes.
It was a while. So anyway, we've come to the part of the show where we like to take a little break and we like to play a song, and that way I can go refill my drink and grab my tablet charger so I can read the rest of the news. And this song here is dedicated to that damn double C. And there's no music. There it is.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under. He does blow and mention her. Can you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
Men at Work, Land Down Under, dedicated to our dear friend, that damn double C. Good old that damn double C. First of all, let's get into our news stuff here. Let's get into our usual plugs here. First of all, let's antagonize George into joining Facebook. Hell, we got him on Twitter last week. See, peer pressure works. Even Canada wants to support this cause. Go figure. I saw a polar bear wearing a t-shirt that said so. Immediately, a dingo came up to me. I reluctantly took a note from the savage animal. He stole my baby. I punted it. But when all was said and done, CC is voted, and as Commonwealth math multipliers imply, George only needs 303 votes to get on Facebook. I haven't told him this yet, by the way. Sorry, mate. Paul Hogan will accost you if you dismiss this request. He'll get the assist from Wayne Gretzky, naturally. Get the fuck online, George! Facebook.com/GeorgeOnBase. And now, on to the Board Hockey Fan Ultimate Hockey Fighter Tournament. It says, put your stuff here, Cooley. My stuff? What exactly do you mean by stuff, G? Stuff as in sexual parts? Drugs? Go get your own drugs. You Canadians have free healthcare. I'm sure you could get some illness and score free drugs. Meanwhile, in the previous matchup, Bob Probert defeated Jody Shelley to advance to round two. This week sees George Parros battle Craig Berube in a first round fight for survival in the tournament. Follow Board Hockey Fan on Twitter at Board Hockey Fan, and on Facebook, facebook.com/BoardHockeyFan. Also, you should follow that at That Damn Double C on Twitter, because not only is he a main contributor to the Board Hockey Fan website, but Joe doesn't say his Twitter at the end of the show when he always says everybody else's. He doesn't even promote the BoardHockeyFan.com Twitter, and he created the damn page. So remember, Twitter, at Board Hockey Fan, Facebook, facebook.com/BoardHockeyFan, and at That Damn Double C on Twitter. Follow those, and you'll be fine. The Iron Sheik tweets, or any other ridiculously funny Facebook or tweet posts we saw. Monday, for the Valentine's Day, I hope the Hulk Hogan get fucked again by the Ultimate Warrior while the Michael Bolton takes shit on both of them. Tuesday, Jeopardy! On the ask who have the smallest dick in the world, the girl said, of course, it is the Hulk Hogan 100,000%. Wednesday, the Justin Bieber act a little bit funny. He don't know how to handle the A to Z... to the Z moderation, he going to get fucked by show business. The PK Subban black man play the white man sport. He lucky he not the Coco Beware. I beat the out of him. Still I respect him. Go fuck yourself. Thursday, the Kobe tried to make the Dwight feel good. Same as dog trainer tried to teach retarded dog how to shit on the floor. The Dwight dog shit forever. Friday. If I find piece of shit former cop who killed people in the California, I shit in his mouth new country way, piece of shit. Saturday, the Chris Brown win the Grammys for beat up his girlfriend, she dumb bitch. Dwight Howard win the Grammys for the biggest piece of dog shit. Hulk Hogan win the Grammys for smallest dick in the world. Sheiky serious or Sheiky baby joke with the people, but no matter what, the Sheiky baby the Hall of Fame legend, so don't fuck with me, I love you. South Korea, North Korea, I don't give a fuck. One of them 1,000% have raisin dick and can go fuck themselves. For the Chinese New Year, you watch intelligent video or go fuck yourself worse than South Korea and the small dick sigh. Apparently there's a video that goes with this. Let's see here.
Yeah, I did yesterday and today, so I didn't actually look at it. I don't know how long.
No clue what it is.
Well, let's find out here. Real life game of horse with Dave Franco and DeAndre Jordan, and it becomes a cutthroat series of competitions between actor Dave Franco and LA Clippers center DeAndre Jordan.
What you got, big boy?
I ain't sitting here for 4 minutes.
Okay,
that's enough of that. All right, Sunday. College basketball player from the UN. This is still Saturday. College basketball player from the UNC impressed me more than the big talk, no real, all dog shit Dwight Howard. Sunday, good morning or go fuck yourself. Happy Chinese New Year, except for that no good motherfucker piece of dog shit Zach Braff. The Gung Hei Fat Choi to Ultimate Warrior mean go fuck yourself, you no good motherfucker, eat dog shit forever. Tonight, Hulk Hogan win Grammy for have small dick need microscope to see it. Ben Stiller, intelligent Jew. Hashtag Team Sheiky.
Man, Iron Sheik has seen a lot of dick.
Apparently so. All right, well, here we go. This is trivia quiz time. Which of these wrestlers would always win the Royal Rumble? Credit to That Damn Double C for this trivia. A recently popularized Royal Rumble simulation, a bunch of all-stars and legends were placed into a match, but who could never actually be eliminated? Note to me, ask the panel, then move on from here. Don't fuck this up. Seriously, no Jack Swagger returns, please. JT, shh. Make sure any guests don't start masturbating about Stephanie McMahon for 3 minutes either. That was fucking awkward and weird. It's okay, Brian's not here. Poll options. All right, this is a question for you guys. Which who could never actually be eliminated from the Royal Rumble? Your options are Greg Valentine, Bret Hart, Kamala, and Perry Saturn. Gee, I think you already know the answer, so I'm going to skip you. JT.
That's a good question. I will say Greg Valentine.
Greg Valentine, okay. Gee, if you had to guess, if you didn't already know, what would your answer be?
Well, I think it would be Perry Saturn, because he's, you know, often disappears for a decade at a time.
That's true. I would have probably went with Bret Hart, because, hell, it's Bret Hart out of them. He's the only one that's won a Royal Rumble. But, as this clip will tell you, it is not Bret Hart. This is a fucked up clip right here, by the way.
Miss Perfect's eliminated. Come on, la. With both
of those sources there, they had an argument in the back.
We were nice enough to supply Kamala some feet for this match. So you're welcome. You're welcome.
Jesus Christ.
You're welcome.
Again, can't be eliminated.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it's true. Can't be eliminated.
Both feet have to touch the floor. He is invincible. Just like
Zach. I
want to
believe that Coco Ware forgot his tights, so he just took his parrot and, like, scotch taped them to the side of his pants.
Oh, shit.
All right, and then I'm supposed to play this immediately.
I have no legs. Come by the party, get suited being, see what the fellas is up to. Yeah. Yo, bye.
This is why we don't let that damn double C run this show half the time. You get these fucked up kind of video clips about Kamala having no feet and not being able to be eliminated from the Royal Rumble.
You know, that's actually, you know, as much how wrong it is actually brilliant, because, you know, you can't technically, because you have to have both feet.
It is hilariously true. And that damn double C notes, thanks to New Legacy Inc. for the Kamala link. You can follow them at youtube.com/NewLegacyInc. Their videos are some of the funniest videos involving wrestling games you'll find on the entire of YouTube.
We're sick fucks.
Yeah, apparently so.
We also have to gotta give a shout out to Brian DeVille, who on a couple occasions on the show has actually quoted that I Have No Legs song that guy sings, if you recall.
Yes.
Then that's from a film called Kids, which was released in the mid-90s, which is kind of a disturbing film in itself.
Oh yeah, I remember hearing about that. Yeah. Never saw it, but I remember hearing about it.
All right, well, let's get into the news. First of all, shout outs to cheapheat.com and angrymarks.com. Great suppliers of your wrestling news if you need to find some. And also to rationalwrestlingreview.com. I don't have George here. I don't have to put him on the spot. Like, what's the website? I actually have it in front of me now. Rosita has confirmed her departure from TNA. Quote, as of yesterday, I'm no longer employed with TNA. It was the best decision for me right now. Thanks to the fans, TNA, and Dixie Carter for the opportunity. That's from twitter.com/VivaRosita. The Rock had this to say. Thank you, at WWE Superstars, for the awesome welcoming me back and getting the big picture plan. You're true locker room leaders. Hashtag Road to Mania.
Where were you on Monday, Rock?
Right.
Why weren't you at Raw? You should have been there. You're the WWE champion.
I went on another big rant about The Rock on Twitter, and maybe we'll get into that in a little bit, but I was like, you know, still pissed that, you know, he's back. Like, what the fuck is he back for? In fact, I think one of the things that I said earlier on the show is that, you know, I watched 3 Super Bowl commercials with The Rock. I don't have milk, but I have a shitty actor that pretends to be a pro wrestler. On my TV. I'm not going to go see Fast and Furious 6. I haven't seen one since the first one. And I'm probably not going to go
see any of them.
I'm probably not going to go see Snitch, because who cares?
I've seen, like, I think, you know, I thought about it after, you know, after reading some of your posts online. I was like, you know what? Let me see. I saw The Rock in Mummy Returns, Scorpion King, Walking Tall, and then I think Rundown. I think after that, I think I've seen him in like one other movie. I think he was in that Get Shorty sequel.
I'll tell you what I've seen The Rock in. I saw The Rock in The Game Plan, And I saw The Rock and the Tooth Fairy. I didn't even want to watch the Tooth Fairy. We're on the way back from Virginia, and my dad put it on for the kids in the car. So I, you know, fuck it, I might as well watch it. It's on. It's got The Rock in it. Oh, boy.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, that's right. I also saw that Journey 2.
Oh, boy.
Which was abysmal.
Well, anyway.
I got to where he was bouncing cherries off his packs, people. And that's where I'm like, I'm out. I was at my buddy's house. I'm like, that's it. I'm out.
I had to watch The Tooth Fairy because, one, it was on, and two, it was a hockey movie starring a former pro wrestler. Or at least a hockey-themed movie starring a pro wrestler. He was a hockey player, and then he became the Tooth Fairy, and he had to hide his wings because he was trying to play hockey. It was stupid. The Rock brags about WWE's recent success. The People's Era, highest Raw ratings in over a year at WWE Universe's powerful voice. We bring it. G notes.
Begin your Rock hate now, because knowing is half the battle.
And that damn double C notes. G.I. Joe! The Score TV's Arda O'Kell recently interviewed former WWE diva Beth Phoenix on a number of topics, including divas now leaving WWE. Phoenix stated on the Manor, I think it's just timed out that way because lots of times with the girls, there's a window of opportunity, and a lot of the girls that left kind of came in at the same time. The women's division, there are so few of us, you can only see me wrestle Kelly so many times. It's a 23-minute long video, so we won't play it if you want to check it out. youtube.com/watch/feature=player_embed_v equals... yeah, we'll post it in the link.
There you go.
This is an interesting story that G's been keeping up on.
Yeah, and I'd like to preface this before we get into it, because this gets kind of ugly. I have a number of friends in Calgary that are involved in a few different camps of Hart Wrestling. We've had Bruce Hart and Doc Knight on earlier in the summer telling us about Original Stampede Wrestling. One of my sources has, you know, bias from that side. Another one of my sources is from the Hart Legacy Wrestling promotion, who also had a little bit of bias on that side. And it's funny because I've talked to both of them about it, and I told them I wouldn't disclose names on our show, and that's, you know, that, out of respect, obviously. They don't want to get involved in the dirt that we're about to get into. And the reason, one of the main reasons both of them have told me is that they, you know, they just want good wrestling to come back to Calgary, and they don't like the divide. They don't like the politics. I'm not going to point fingers at anybody in particular because I think this story is going to do that in itself. So for anyone who's listening to this, except for those that are probably going to come out looking a little bit filthy and dirty, I have no reason to want anything other than good wrestling to come back to Calgary, and that's pretty much what I want to preface this whole thing with. And let's get on to the TMZ segment.
All right.
Of the week.
Well, Hart Legacy Wrestling has called off their February 22nd, 2013 show. And while a video on Sunday night with John Morrison shilling the event on their own website was still up, Miss Stacey Angel was still noted on the Facebook page. None of the dates were concrete and shouldn't have been announced. If Hart Legacy announces it, then it's the truth. An anonymous source has chimed in. The promotion had several Japanese names, but were having financial issues with none of the talent for the first show having been paid yet outside of those paid in advance. In addition, at least one hotel wasn't paid for the rooms. Hart Legacy Wrestling has had previous issues with hotels in Calgary related to their previous January 18th show, which a number of eyewitnesses noted posters depicting that sales for the 2/22/13 show were already underway. The pavilion in Calgary was reportedly sold out at a capacity of 1,500, an estimated $35 a head on average. That roughly adds up to $32,000 off the door. The rent for the facility is $10,000. Rough costs for production, sound, ring rental, lights, crew, and work to set this up, etc., would have ran them around $2,000 to $5,000. A cheap ring could be rented for $400. This would leave about $17,000 to $2,000 to pay talent without taxes. Even with the cancellation of one Kevin Nash, it is difficult to understand where the money went. It's also confusing that John Morrison is appearing for Hat Legacy Wrestling. The chapeau is in the know. Oh, where did the money go? Complaints grow over Hart Family Wrestling events. Event staff say they haven't been paid. Promised pay-per-view never aired. During intermissions, staff got some bad news. There was not going to be pay at the end of the night, said color commentator Jeff Jackson. I think it's pretty shady. I think it's pretty dirty, said Jackson. An online pay-per-view never aired, costing organizers tens of thousands in profit and disappointing fans as well. A hotel manager says he is out $3,200 for unpaid rooms. Another anonymous... go ahead.
Sorry, that this actually did make the major news source, the CBC up here. They had an interview with both of these people. It's gets worse, people. Continue, please.
Another anonymous source has notified me that the only people staff were aware of handling money were Stacy Angel and John O, a.k.a. Little John. Whether or not either are responsible for any missing money, people are not being paid due to nefarious motivations or whatnot, are only speculatory. G will not allege anything against such parties since there is the possibility of many explanations outside of assumption. Through extensive footwork, however, G discovered that Little John is John Honiston, whoever he is. Google has never heard of him. I wonder where the money went. On MLW podcast last week, Conan discussed his experience on the show as being positive. We assume he got paid. But also that he confirmed that Bret Hart was at a hockey game the night of the show on January 18th and has no connection to Hart Legacy in any capacity. The new Wrestling Observer newsletter has a detailed write-up on the fiasco, apparently with both Lance Storm and El Generico received bounce checks. Overall expenses were pushing $40,000. February 7th, AAA Canada Next Generation Wrestling pops up announcing a show on, guess what, February 22nd. The website looks familiar. The seven announced stars, Teddy Hart, Davey Boy Smith Jr., Kevin Nash, John Hennigan, Jack Evans, Conan, Samurai Del Sol, sound familiar. AAA Canada has announced their plan to fill the void left by the already defunct Hart Legacy Wrestling with a show called Next Generation Wrestling on February 22nd. Teddy Hart is one of the people behind it, playing off his ties to AAA in Mexico, and the first show will air on iPay-Per-View with an NGW tournament featuring Harry Boy D.H. Smith, John Morrison, Jack Evans, and more. AAA Canada released a statement that, unlike Hart Legacy, all of their talent has already been paid full in advance. Breaking news just before showtime. Our anonymous source that worked for HLW has requested that we note also talk about without Spencer involved, Stacy drew maybe 20 people to a show over the Stampede, and with him involved 1,500 people. This would be the shows that occurred during the Calgary Stampede in comparison to the January 18th event. But wait, there's more! The following was posted on the HLW website on Friday, just prior to it being turned private, between Hart Legacy, Stacy Angel, and Spencer Tapley. Spencer Tapley is working with the AAA Canada promotion. Remember that, kids. It's important. Hart Legacy says, if Spencer Tapley booked any wrestlers and you haven't been paid, please contact him immediately. He is responsible for all bookings over and beyond what the budget was. Spencer, even though you wanted to run from HLW for overbooking talent and not even giving us 24 hours notice on the double budget, it states in your contract and several emails that you are responsible for anything over and above our budget. We took care of most of it for you. This is a message from one of the fans. It happens all around the world. And this became a big story because of the internet, but from Mexico to the state of WCW, WWE, they didn't pay guys either, or Sister, and yes, even Stu got stiffed from Vince or for millions. Apparently, she don't know how to type. I know Ted and Harry since they were kids in that ring, and yes, they are great wrestlers. So are many of our grandkids, but not getting paid is all part of this business. Sad but true. Try to get paid when you show up to do the show before your match. Spencer Tapley replies, if Stacy Angel wasn't such an ignorant, self-centered human being, which most of the world already knows she is, she would realize, in fact, instead of lying to the world, which the world, according to Stacy, has already come to accept, then everyone knows, in fact, that my contract became null and void due to non-payment. She can spin it any way she wants. The simple fact of the matter was the money man in the operation, John Honiston, guaranteed that we all would be paid. The real reason we were over budget is because that the funds for airline tickets were not allocated in advance, and therefore flights were purchased the day before at exorbitant rates, period. She never had any personal financial involvement, and in fact, the continual broken promises by both John Honiston and Stacy Angel was in fact the real reason why what happened did. Her continual finger-pointing is an old ploy to try and spin the blame on someone else. I have forgotten more dirty tricks than she will ever know. The fact that she has chosen this public forum to air her dirty laundry only goes to show everyone her deficiencies again. I always tried to defend her through everything, and in the end, she decided to try and save face by once again pointing the finger of blame my way. I, as a fired employee, hold no legal personal liability for the indiscretions of the inept. All of the litigants will collectively see you both in provincial courts soon, and in the meantime and in between time, govern yourselves accordingly, and we wish you all well in your future endeavors. And then Stacy replies, "Excuse me, Spencer, aren't you the one trying to take on this new wrestling show and you guys keep copying us? Aren't you the one that announced unconfirmed crap on this site? No wonder Stampede Wrestling keeps getting closed down. It's because of people like you. Weren't you the one trying to shut us down? You keep telling your friends to post bad stuff about us to cover up your mistakes. There is documents stating you are responsible to pay the wrestlers if it's over our budget. We helped you out and protected you because you whined and wanted to book town. You're a joke, and you can remove yourself from this site. I'm talking to Teddy right now, and he's successful, and the one you are trying to shut down, not me or HLW. So it's time to shut your mouth and move on with your life." To which Spencer replies, "We have nothing to do with you. The only thing you are good at is not shutting your mouth. I try it sometime, and people will respect you more. Copy you, that's laughable. You had zero to do with the talent, except, of course, the ones you insisted on paying way too much. That, of course, we did not book. And excuse me, it was me who kept Stampede Wrestling from being shut down from 1998 to 2001. You are the joke, and it's laughable that you continue this at all. The success of our, and not your, new wrestling promotion will be because of the people who care and do not have ulterior motives. For a time, I thought you were one of those caring people who wanted to see the business flourish in this once great territory. And make no mistake about it, those of us that continue on the back, continue on the bring back to our glory, our envisionment, are all fantastic people. We or I have never been trying to shut you down or take anything from anybody. You and your partners operated in a convoluted vortex of deceit, and how dare you try to spew your venom at to all of us that worked their asses off, and especially yours truly, who ran my big fat ass off because I cared enough to make it a huge success, and I'm the bad guy? I think not. Do not further the war of words with Satan, because a witch will always lose. In the public opinion poll, there will always be naysayers, and I, in closing, only have to say that those that do not pay will pay one day with their souls as they burn in hell." Stacy replies, "You will do anything for fame or to protect yourself. Govern yourself accordingly. You should be the one to do that. Please, Spencer, I have all the proof of your devious ways. We'll let the courts decide. In the meantime, quit trying to shut down HLW by doing shows that copy HLW and announcing we are no longer. You put us through a setback and financial crisis. Now we have some shows to work on, so please go take care of whatever it is that you need to and mind your own business with us, as you are no longer working with us for the obvious reasons. I wish you happiness and success in your new journey. I just wish you would have taken responsibility for your actions." And that's the story so far.
So before I say anything, I'm just curious, what JT, what would be your take on this? You've been given a lot of information. I think the final conversation kind of confirms a lot of the rumors, speculations. We know Little John's definitely handling money. We know Stacy and Spencer clearly don't like each other. We know there was a bunch of people not paid. I can confirm for a fact that one of my sources was not paid. And we also know that a whole bunch of the same guys who were involved with the Heart Legacy Wrestling Foundation are also now involved with AAA Canada. What do you think, JT? What's your summation of all this?
Some people, a lot of people got fucked.
Yeah, I mean, it really sounds, it's like, where do you start here? Because, I mean, it's like, okay, yeah, AAA, you mentioned earlier in the report that AAA Canada has a similar, almost exact website as Heart Legacy Wrestling, but I mean, if this is the guy that was behind the website anyway, you know, chances are it would look similar. You know, a lot of my websites look similar to each other, you know. But you know, it's really like, it just sucks that people didn't get paid. You know, they came all the way to Calgary to work, and then they didn't pay. They had to pay, like, you know, last minute airfare, which sucks, you know, and
gas, which is spiking up again.
Absolutely, it's terrible. You know, you gotta feel for these people that didn't get paid. As far as the situation goes, I mean, like, you know, I'd like to see a peaceful resolution to it, but I mean, obviously, you know, somebody somewhere fucked up and didn't pay a lot of the talent. So I don't know what more to say about it than that. That's, you know, I think everything we just read probably covers most of what people need to know about it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't want to speculate. They're going to take this to court. Whatever evidence exists between, you know, what happened, I guess will be ruled upon by, you know, a provincial judge in Alberta. But it's amazing that I think the part that kind of stands out to me, there's two things. One is the involvement of Teddy Hart with the AAA, and Stacey is talking about in this back and forth exchange, like, he's also still working with her. So that's a big question for me, what's going on there. I can't really confirm or do anything but speculate, but that stood out to me. It's like, okay, well, I guess we'll see what happens if Hart Legacy Wrestling indeed has a show with him on it as well as AAA, then he's probably staying neutral in this. Another thing, I listen to MLW podcast once in a while, and I caught it this week. And this again is coming from Conan, so I don't know how valid it is, but he actually made a note about the Arafura thing as well, and he said that was the reason that a lot of guys were getting tickets late, literally the day of, and he said Jack Evans was one of them. He said Trent Beretta got his ticket the day of. And he actually even speculated that the real reason Kevin Nash didn't show up is that he only will fly first class, and if we're going to get the ticket to him that day, that's probably like an $8,000 ticket or more. So they're already $40,000 in debt. That ain't going to happen, right?
Right. Yeah, again, I've also heard that.
I can't confirm that's the case. We did poke fun a little bit at Nash about no showing because he said his wife had the flu, and maybe she did. We don't know. But there is a little bit of bonus information that I hope doesn't sway anybody, but we might find more about in the coming weeks, and I will continue to follow the story if anything is seen, or at least gives us some closure on what's going on in Calgary right now. It's pretty fucked up.
Absolutely, and it's a great story to talk about too. I mean, it's really, you know, there's a lot a lot going on there. Didn't we have somebody? I want to say it was somebody from OSW, but I'm not positive, and I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth. But didn't maybe like a month ago we had somebody in the news saying like, oh well, you know, good luck with that. You know, good luck not getting paid by Stacey. You
know? We did.
I distinctly remember something like that. So, you know, you got to figure that in too. Like, she apparently has a reputation for not paying people.
The source that I had from HLW did mention, because he did work the shows during the Stampede over the summer, about how few people actually attended, and they had a pretty full card. A lot of the same guys that were attached to the project to begin with were at those shows. So if they're only drawing like 20 people, guaranteed people didn't get paid at that event as well.
Right, right. Yeah, well, I mean, obviously if she's got a reputation, then maybe, you know, that would lean you towards the AAA side. But I mean, who knows? You know, this is all stuff we're hearing, and we're getting, obviously you have more of an inside track than, you know, JT or I would. So I mean, you know what you're talking about a little bit better than we do. So,
well, you know, I like I said before we got into this, I just want to see wrestling back in my city.
Absolutely.
It's kind of sucks. The fans that attended, from what I heard, are all positive things, that it was a great show. So I'm glad that at least the people who, you know, went down didn't get screwed over too. But I feel really bad for the guys that are, especially the wrestlers, that didn't get paid, because they're the ones putting their health at risk. And that's, I mean, Stacey does bring up the fact that this happens all the time. And it does. I've heard, you know, plenty of wrestlers talk about, you know, working shows for like food stamps. Hell, TNA was doing it, right? But,
yeah.
Well, that's, until anything else comes in, I guess that's going to be my take on it.
All right. Well, then, CM Punk now demands to be referred to as the People's Champion at house shows. That damn double C notes, what the fuck did DDP ever do to have his gimmick stolen? DDP was doing that around the same time as The Rock was. In other Mick Foley news, because we were just talking about Mick Foley, apparently. He revealed during a recent comedy appearance in Australia that a WWE neurologist told him not to wrestle again when he was trying to get clearances for a feud with Dean Ambrose. Chris Jericho said he knew he was returning to WWE as far back as November of last year. Chris Jericho will be touring in Australia with Fozzy from February 23rd to March 4th and will miss TV tapings for WWE during that time, but he is scheduled for both Raw and SmackDown tapings from March 11th until WrestleMania. His next Fozzy tour starts April 11th.
I think we can, whatever program he's put into, pretty much guaranteed closure. I don't know if he'll show up at the Raw the next night, though. Joe, I guess you'll be able to tell us firsthand, though.
I will be. I actually... here's the thing about the Raw tickets is I actually... the pre-sale started Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Thursday morning, 10 a.m., I'm sitting in the studio. I got my finger on the refresh button. I keep hitting it until I see, like, oh, time to buy the tickets. So I put in the pre-sale codes, and I went in to buy the tickets, and I tried to get the most expensive ones, which were $95. They came out to about $110 after tax and fees and all that stuff each. I wanted to get two really good seats for Raw because, you know, to kind of make up for the terrible seats we have for WrestleMania. But that didn't happen. I kept getting, no, these tickets aren't available, these tickets aren't available, these tickets aren't available. So finally I put in, okay, give me best available. And then it's like, obstructed view. Like, no, I ain't doing obstructed view. Screw that. I'll go on StubHub and buy better tickets if I have to. And then I, you know, kept clicking around trying to get... I still couldn't get the $95 tickets. I got the next lowest ones, which were like $70 in tax. I think we paid like $160 total for two tickets. We're in the 100 level. We're, you know, we're pretty much in the same spot we get when we win tickets to go see them here at the First Niagara Center. So not bad seats. You know, and I looking at the size of the Izod Center, I don't really think there are bad seats, but I would have much rather preferred, like, you know, floor seats, something like that. I may keep an eye out on StubHub, just because I know that's probably going to be more obtainable than, you know, WrestleMania tickets, you know, better WrestleMania tickets than what I got, because better WrestleMania tickets than what I got right now are way more than I paid for mine. I've been looking, I tell you, and like, across the arena, back behind the stage, is about what I paid. So that's pretty nuts, you know. All right. Well, anyway, John Robinson of ESPN broke the news Monday at 4:03 p.m. Eastern that Bruno Sammartino would be the next inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame. They were scooped. So about 30 minutes later, WWE made the announcement themselves on their own website. That damn double C notes. It took him this long to announce to induct Sammartino. If you use the same length of time for Randy Savage's induction, it'll be WrestleMania 54. Some details have emerged about the WWE tryouts in Florida over the weekend. It was apparently so grueling that one wrestler quit the first day. Those in attendance were Adam Cole, Mike Bennett, Samurai Del Sol, Ricky Rice, Smith James, and Luke Hawks. Reports about whether or not Sammy Callahan was there conflict. The Briscoe brothers were not there. Talent will be informed 2 to 4 weeks from now about whether or not they will be offered a WWE developmental contract. I also heard that, what's his name? The food stamp guy, Jesse Neal. I heard he was there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's some good names there. Not 100% sure. I guess we'll have to wait 2 to 4 weeks if we get more more better idea who gets signed, but could be a little coup for the WWE and quite a bit of a loss for Ring of Honor with at least two of these guys.
Right? 2 to 4 weeks. Well, that's also too. That's the thing, because Adam Cole's scheduled to wrestle at their 11th anniversary in March too. So we'll know if he's dropping the title. We'll know if he's dropping the title or not.
WWE wants everybody to send tweets with the hashtags #GetWellChairman, #MrMcMahon to encourage his rapid recovery from hip surgery.
No.
No, thanks.
I did send a tout.
You did.
I did. I'm trying to pull it up right now, but it's like not wanting to come up. So, but I did indeed tout to Mr. McMahon, wishing him a speedy recovery from all of us here at BoardWrestlingFan.com.
Don't you know that it's not about tout now, it's about the WWE app. Go and download the WWE app at the Google Store and the iTunes Store.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. I got it. Here's the tout. Tout from me on your behalf.
Hey, it's Think So Joe here from BoardWrestlingFan.com, and on behalf of the entire Board Wrestling Fan crew, I want to wish Mr. McMahon a speedy recovery from surgery. Get well soon, boss.
Yes, on your behalf, I touted. You guys can thank me later. TNA has now suspended the voting for TNA Gut Check entirely. They've announced that they're going to start over from scratch with a new voting system that will eliminate the voting issues. This is for the best, since they changed how it works during the actual voting period and opened the door to multiple votes via page refreshing and other abuses.
Yeah, I was following Gregory Iron was one of the candidates, and I voted for him a couple times. And he was pretty irate about this, because he noticed overnight one of the guys like leaped ahead by about 8,000 more votes. And then there was people in the comments saying, yeah, all you have to do is hit refresh, and it'll just let you re-vote over and over again.
Yeah, I saw somebody, I saw a post from somebody else that was one of the women that's there that actually was ahead, and then all of a sudden she was down like 8,000 votes, you know? And it's because, you know, they were pissed off about this voting issue for that exact reason, that, you know, you could just hit refresh and vote again. So it's a good thing that they are changing that, you know, and hopefully... Hopefully they'll get a good system that they like and won't change it in the middle of voting, you know?
It's actually a really good premise. I totally would like to see a non-corrupt version of it, because I think, you know, at least give somebody, you know, an opportunity to get a little bit of TV time, regardless if they end up getting signed or not.
Absolutely. Well, Tara talks about TNA going on the road. Quote, our fans get spoiled and callous. They want to see us draw blood. In Orlando, thank God we were going on the road. Our fans in Orlando got a little bit spoiled because they see us every week, but we were out there killing ourselves for entertainment. We are actresses and actors who do our stunts with drama, and when they don't react to certain things, it's like, my God, what do you want me to do? You mean wrestling's not real?
What?
Dun, dun, dun!
The actors and actresses?
Apparently so.
Wow, you've seen a lot of breaking news.
You've seen you've seen the Marine.
No, I haven't, actually.
Well, lucky you.
I will not do this, you little twit. I will not watch that piece of shit.
According to TNA, Jeff Hardy's new contract runs for at least the next 2 years.
So there you go, folks. Won't be seeing him in WWE anytime soon. Unless, of course, he asks Dixie nicely if he can get out of his contract, and she'll say, okay, bye.
Yeah.
That's okay. We won't miss him.
Yeah. We don't miss him now.
I don't think
I want to see him back in WWE, to be honest with you. I'd rather they just continue to develop the young talent.
Now, did you notice? I know you guys noticed, because I posted it in our little group on Facebook, but on Thursday... they added Jeff Hardy's alumni section to the WWE.com and had it like plastered right there on their front page.
You know, same day that the announcement came out.
Yeah.
Well, timing. You know what? Whatever. It's, you know, they're not. They can't deny that these freaking people didn't exist. You know, they were a part of the company. Big part of the company in their Attitude years. He was a big, when he came back to the solo thing, you know, he got even bigger, so you can't really say, you know.
And the thing about it is, he's not the first TNA guy to go up on as an alumni on WWE.com, and it's not like they're like, oh, this is what he's doing now, you know. He's up there. I know Sting is up there. I'm sure there's a couple other guys, but you know, I mean, even recently they had like a list of the top 30 personalities in ECW, and they were talking about the Dudleys and, you know, like other guys that are elsewhere now. And they, you know, they don't say, hey, these guys are in TNA now. They're like, hey, these guys used to work.
They don't. You're totally right. And I, for me, it's just more amusing that it's.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Literally, like, obviously, being WrestleMania season, you might have a couple casual fans who haven't watched for a while. It's kind of checking out WWE.com and. Hey, Jeff Hardy. I remember that guy. Whatever happened to Jeff Hardy? I'll go to Google News and I'll type in Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
You know it's going to pop up right away in the first link. Oh, Impact. What's this show? Never heard of this show.
Yeah.
So they kind of are giving them free exposure in a little bit. Not a lot. I can't see
it drawing. No, and I agree with you, too, because you remember when Hulk Hogan made the big announcement that he was coming to TNA, WWE had just put out a DVD. So it's like, you know, you're watching this, you know, ad for this DVD on Monday Night Raw, and you're like, huh, whatever happened to Hulk Hogan? And then you look him up, and it's like, oh, he signed with, what's TNA Wrestling? But the thing is, a little healthy competition is a good thing for WWE.
Oh, yeah.
And we all know it.
By something like that, I think they want that. I think they want they want that. They want. They don't want to admit it, but they want that.
Absolutely. Speaking of
true, but they also, I kind of neglected to put this in the news. There was a story, I think the Observer reported that the WWE is making a very, very strict policy with its wrestlers to be nowhere near any of the TNA events at WrestleMania and have absolutely no contact with TNA talent whatsoever. So I agree with you. We want healthy competition, but it's just funny how all these things are kind of interconnected this week.
In that case, I go back to WrestleMania 24, which is the last one I went to, and we were supposed to leave Thursday morning to go. And then we had a problem getting our rental car, so we didn't get to go until Friday morning. And when we decided, hey, let's watch Impact, because we were hoping to go to one of the tapings, because it was in Orlando. And we're like, okay, well, let's watch Impact since we're, you know, stuck at home anyway. And that was the night they showed the Highlanders, or one of the Highlanders.
Robbie.
On television. And then all of a sudden he got sent home. You know, like, they don't want that to happen again. They don't want a WWE guy to show up on the competition television, you know?
Didn't like, a bunch of the WWE guys? See, I know only one made television, but there was like three or four guys that were actually at least either backstage or at the event.
Yeah, but that's true. But, you know, he got in trouble for being on TV. They're trying to avoid, you know, TNA being like, oh, look who's here.
I remember that clearly. Because the look on his face, he's embarrassed and he's trying to hide his face. And they're like, WWE wrestlers. It's like, oh.
They didn't call him by his... I remember the story. It was like they thought it was going to be okay to show him on TV and use his real name because... they didn't want to use his wrestling name because they thought that would get him in trouble with WWE and get them in trouble with WWE. Obviously, just showing the guy on TV, like, oh, look, it's a WWE wrestler here in TNA watching our show, you know.
But then again, they always used to show the highlight packages of everybody that's been through their doors, and it's like, yeah, they were here one time, yet we've got them, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of guys that were at TNA at one time, Stevie Richards, a.k.a. Michael Manna, has a new Shoot DVD coming out. One interesting note from the preview, he calls Dixie Carter a money mark. Some would certainly agree with that assessment. Coincidentally, Hulk Hogan wants to know if she's serious about the wrestling business or not. It's either hold 'em or fold 'em. JT, you do this.
Thanks, I'm taking a drink. Okay, let me channel Dude Brother. It's either hold 'em or fold 'em, brother. Dude, brother. You're either in the wrestling business, brother, dude, brother, or not, dude, brother. It's Dixie Carter, dude, brother. Really in the wrestling business, or is it just a hobby, brother, dude, brother? You either make a move or you don't. What you gonna do? Oh, wait, right. I still have something more to say. It's still the same place here with WCW. Either run with the big dogs or be a little dog and stay in the porch. Destiny's company is in her hands. What you gonna do, kids, TNA, when... the most powerful arms in the world can make the decisions for you to move on to greatness.
That's why I have you do these things. Dude, brother.
Dude, brother.
Brother.
Shad Gaspard and Mark Capone, better known as Muhammad Hassan, have announced via press release that the Assassin and Son comic book will come out as an independent feature film through Eisenberg Fisher Productions. The comic is about New York assassin Donovan Braddock, known as the Horseman of Death, whose wife is murdered in front of his infant son. Nice to hear they have moved on to other successful future endeavors. Seriously, that's pretty cool.
Oh, and by the way, when I did the What You Gonna Do, I did the flex. I had the flex.
Oh, of course. You can't not do the flex. Our spelling champion returns, Kenny Doan, better known as Kenny Dykstra in his WWE days, tells TMZ he decided to become an author while rehabbing a knee injury suffered last month, and wanted to address the topic of bullying. The former tag team champ must be a badass with the pen because he's already lined up as a publisher for Billy's Bully. He's already lined up a publisher for Billy's Bully, which shows one kid standing up to his tormentor and teaches kids how to avoid becoming a bully.
Be a star, kiddies. Be a star.
Indeed, be a star. Let's see if there's any new wrestling news since we...
Sure. We sure as hell aren't on here. But...
No. Not usually. Boy. That's all the news. I gotta see if there's any more that's come out lately. Because, you know, we've still got time to kill.
Brother.
We're early. We're never early. Let's see. Jeff Hardy is battling career injuries with yoga. Oh, what's this? CM Punk takes nasty bump to the head. And let's see here. Okay, I'm clicking. You go. WWE star CM Punk took a nasty bump to his head during a WWE live event in Springfield, Missouri on Saturday, following a suplex from The Miz. The incident took place during a tag team main event, which featured Punk tagging with WWE United States Champion Antonio Cesaro versus The Miz and Ryback. Punk rolled out of the ring shortly after taking the bad bump and was later helped to the back by WWE officials. And one commenter on this article already says, "Damn it, Miz!" let's see.
Poor guy can't just get a break. He sucks as a face, and they're doing everything to get him better, and then he does this.
Talks have been described as serious between producers of a planned Bruno Sammartino feature film and Michael Luisi of WWE Films. According to sources, while no deal has been finalized, WWE has expressed interest in the rights of the movie to be produced by Scott Rosenfeld and written by Rosenfeld and Paul Guay. Script has already been completed for the film following Sammartino's life from 1943, when the Nazis took over Ferrato, Italy, until 1995. So there you go. Bruno Sammartino feature film, possibly to be released by WWE Films. They could get John Cena to play him.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. I don't know. We got a few minutes. What do you guys want to talk about? Anything? Should we just end?
I don't know. Well,
I'll take that as a yes.
You know what I downloaded yesterday, the other day, or earlier this week, not yesterday, the day. Remember when Metallica inducted Black Sabbath into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and they played Iron Man?
Yes.
At the ceremony? That's on iTunes.
Oh, that's cool.
So I downloaded it. Oh, what do you want me to say? You're like wanting me to talk. So
I don't know. I'm just wondering if you guys want to end the show. I mean, we're 5 minutes earlier than normal, but actually, we usually go longer because we usually have more people. But well, I don't know.
Well, we could note. Unfortunately, 10 years ago today, we lost Mr. Perfect.
That is true. Yeah. Yes, I did mean to bring that up. You are correct. 10 years ago today, which happens to also be Cliff Burton of Metallica's birthday, the late Cliff Burton. We lost Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig. Can't believe it's been 10 years, man. That's wow. Where does the time go?
We're old.
We are old. We remember when he was having great matches at SummerSlam with Bret Hart. Well, on that sad note, we're going to end the show because I've got nothing else to talk about. So, for myself, at ThinkSoJoe on Twitter. For George, who is not here, at Punish78 on Twitter. For JT, at Random Redhead. For G, at G of the Internet. And for that damn double C, at that damn double C. And at Board Hockey Fan, why not? At ThinkMetal, at Fropak, and at everything else I do. At Bird Wrestling Fun on Twitter. Board Wrestling Fan Without Vowels. We'll see you next week.
I just eat my taco pants.
Oh, boy.